Welcome back to Bullshit Corner, where we bring you the bullshit. Today, we're going to start doing something a little bit different, and we're going to make sure every episode is focusing on reviewing something or recapping something. So, for today, we are going to be doing a spoil-filled... I can't talk today, guys. I apologize. We're going to spoil the crap out of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. As always, I'm your host, Kate, and I'm here with Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
And Matt.
Hello.
So, guys, as I said, we're going to spoil this for you, and mostly that's because we think we've given you enough time to go out and see the movie. If you haven't yet, go watch it, come back and listen to this. So I guess just to start things off, we'll go over, I guess, the main part of the movie, or the major plot, which is Peter Quill and Ego, played by Chris Pratt and Kurt Russell. Or yes. As Matt likes to call him, Snake Plissken.
Yes. If you have not seen him, go back and watch the 1980s and early 90s movies with Kurt Russell of Escape from Los Angeles and New York, which they might actually be rebooting.
He's much better in the Fast and Furious franchise as Mr. Nobody.
Oh, I forgot he was in the Fast and the Furious franchise.
But his hair looks so much better in Escape from Los Angeles.
Anyway, guys, so what did y'all think about this dynamic? So a quick breakdown. Ego, Kurt Russell, is Peter Quill's dad. He is essentially a godlike being who was born into existence and then made his own planet and then went around procreating with everything. And I say everything because a lot of these species weren't humanoids. So I'm just going to put thing there as a substitute. And everything comes around, lo and behold, he's a bad guy, and Peter Quill has to fight him. I mean, it's pretty much, the one thing I didn't like about it wasn't terribly interesting. It was really predictable for me, because it tends to be...
Yeah, was anybody actually surprised he was going to be the bad guy? Did anybody actually think he was going to be a good guy, and just Peter's dad? I mean, I wasn't.
They didn't introduce anybody else to fill that role, so you kind of, like, knew... Just the fact that they were able to bring Ego into an actual character, I think, is crazy for me. Because the dude's like, in the comics, he's like, he's a legitimate just planet.
Yeah.
He's just a big-ass planet. And then they brought him into a character, I think, pretty well. At least, like, for how crazy it is to think that a Marvel character is an actual planet.
And I think they did it really well, too. Especially when Peter's, like, fighting him and blowing him to bits and he's, like, reconstructing himself. I think that.
Oh, like, yeah, the movie itself was super pretty. No,
the movie was pretty beginning to end, and that actually got me more hyped for Ragnarok.
Just because of how it
looked. But, I mean, I actually think this was probably the worst arc, which doesn't speak for the movie because I actually really, really loved the movie. But I just didn't think this was the most interesting thing that was going on at the time.
Definitely, I don't think it was the most interesting just because it was most predictable. But what is up with, I don't know, I saw this movie on Mother's Day, so maybe like it was just like my Mother's Day, you know, mind going. But what is up with comics lately and like mom complexes and people getting upset because moms are dying?
Lately?
Like just blatant, just, you killed my mom, now I'm going to fight you. You killed my mom, so now we're friends. You killed my, or like, we have our moms have the same name, so now we're friends. You killed my mom, so I'm just going to shoot you 14,000 times.
Have you,
it's a problem.
Have you seen or read The Flash Paradox?
Not in the movies yet. But if they do that too in Justice League,
I feel like that whole character's based on mom issues.
I think every character's based on mom issues. Like, name one that isn't.
Cyborg. That's dad issues.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I was like,
there's dad issues on a lot of them.
Not mom issues.
I
mean, like, even how that got, like, I get it.
Spider-Man. Spider-Man wasn't really based on dad issues.
It was a father figure.
It was uncle.
Uncle issues.
It was his father figure.
Yeah, see, there was mom in that one.
No mom in that.
Because surrogate fathers don't matter. Is that what you're saying?
Well, according to this movie,
I'm not talking
about
fathers. I'm just talking about straight mothers.
Like, yeah.
In three of the biggest Marvel movies, or the biggest comic book movies to come out, like in succession, all of them have had some part where the mom is like the big turning point in the movie.
So does that mean Wonder Woman's going to have mother issues as well?
Well, she does.
She does.
Yeah,
have
no, I don't know she does. But I'm saying, wait, that's where we're going with this movie. So we don't even have to go see this movie. It's done.
Where are the loving moms in the world? What is going on? Keep moms alive, and half of the issues in these movies would not be going on.
Or keep moms alive, and half of the supervillains will not be stopped.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's that too. No, but I think actually, like, I liked the mom arc until he had the exact same breakdown that Iron Man has in Civil War. Like,
that was amazing.
Like, it was a great scene. It was a great scene. But it was the exact same scene from freaking Civil War.
That's why it's better, because it's real. Like, that's a real reaction. I'm going to kill this guy that I've been beefing with for two movies and then not fight him because our moms have the same name is not real. That is not real.
No, that is not realistic. It was bad.
Fighting the dude who killed your mom is realistic.
So, Adrian, would you place this in relation to Batman versus Superman?
Oh, leaps and bounds above. not even in the same universe. You have to jump 700 times to find it.
So since we're talking about ratings, should we go ahead and just see where this one rates before we get into everything else?
Yeah, we might as well. What about for you, Matt?
Are we talking about this year? Or are we talking about overall for both cinematic universes?
Well, let's do for this year right now, and then we'll come to overall at the end. Let's do that. Granted, I think this is one of the first movies.
Yeah,
it's
like
this
is only the second one, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay.
So we are kind of early. So I mean, basically, your question is it better than Logan?
Pretty much.
That's not a tough one. From a sentimental value, no. But no, I like Logan stabbing people in the face too much.
Yeah, I just think
it's a close
like
one though compared to the other ones.
Because there were a lot of like emotional parts in this movie, but nothing beats that 17-year-long ride and then seeing that all close together. Nothing. This does not beat that.
Yeah, no, but that's for me. I can't. And if you listen to our Logan review, I can't see Logan in relation to other comic book movies. Like, it was just too good of a film. But I like Guardians of the Galaxy if I compare it to itself, I guess. Like, I think it was better. I think it is right on the same par with Logan in that it was aware of itself and how it was supposed to treat everything. And what I mean by that is, like, there were some really sentimental parts in Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, I was tearing up during Yondu's funeral, but, like, it got to that point, but it wouldn't jump headlong into the complete, like, sobbing, ugly crying that was brought out in Logan, because Guardians of the Galaxy is a feel-good movie, and it's comedic, and it's very lighthearted. So even when it was dealing with the emotional stuff, the fact that it went to that point but never really jumped off the cliff is something that I really liked about it. So I would put them like side by side, not comparing, because I think it's impossible for me. Mostly because I just think Logan's going to win out of everything for every comic book movie.
It was good, but I didn't walk out of that one like I walked out of Logan when I thought, like, man, that was really, really
good.
That was
genre-defining.
If I could turn right back around and go watch this again, I would. I really enjoyed Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. I really, really enjoyed it. But in terms of like films that have come out, like comic book movies that have come out this year, because we've only had two of them so far, Logan definitely.
Yeah. I would say I would immediately watch Logan again, but I would also watch Guardians of the Galaxy again. And this is going to segue us into our next topic. Baby Groot is the best character I have ever seen in a movie, and I really love cute things. And the entire time, I just kept like hitting Matt's arm, like, look at it, look at the baby, because like the entire opening is like 5 minutes of fighting with Groot dancing around the entire stage, or the entire like where they're fighting at. And I think he is so lovable, and I would rewatch that movie because that 5 minute intro is just so good. So good.
No, yeah. He's easily the cutest character I've ever seen in film.
Yeah.
Like, he's legit just adorable.
Yeah, I can't get over it. What about you, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I liked him. I wasn't, like, going crazy over it. I thought it was funny and cute.
He was too adorable to kill, Matt.
Yeah.
Well, from Ruthless Ravagers.
Well, what I was trying to say is I was enjoying the rated R type movies that they're going for, like in Logan and even Deadpool of last year, that Baby Groot, as much as I enjoyed it, was didn't do it for me as much as everybody else, I guess.
So you don't have a heart.
I have a little heart.
But I can kind of see where you're coming from, Matt, because one of my biggest problems with the movie itself is that and this is just me being super, super critical of, like, a really great comic book movie. There was just too much, like, quippy humor. Like, when they're doing these big, you know, dramatic moments, I was like, all right, here comes the joke. And then a joke would come. And then they just did that constantly, like, throughout the entire movie. And Baby Groot's kind of like the butt out of a lot of those jokes of it being really serious. And like, oh, here comes Baby Groot. So I can kind of see where you're coming from, like, you know, after seeing serious movies and then them having serious tones in this movie to kind of like be like, all right, here's a joke. Like the biggest one that kind of took me out of the movie was when Baby Groot lets out, what's her name?
Nebula?
Nebula. Yeah. She lets out Nebula and then, you know, it's this big whole thing and Nebula shoots Yondu and you're like, oh shit, Nebula just shot Yondu. And then she's like, oh, it wasn't ripe. Like, that's, like, did you have to make that joke? Was that a joke that was necessary for the film? Like, that scene could have been completely fine if it ended before that joke. And I know it's a little bit off topic of Groot, but it's just one of my biggest problems with the movie is that not that it's too funny, the jokes just come in too predictably where I'm like, oh, fuck, well, like, yeah. Now I'm out of the movie again.
Like, I can agree with that because a lot of them, like, you knew where they're going to happen, especially when they kept building up. Because they said it's not ripe yet, like, three or four times right before that. Yeah. And they do that with a lot of them.
And as soon as she had it in her hand, I was like, God damn it. Here but, we go.
But, like, that being said, I guess just basing it off of the first Guardians 2, like, I went in expecting that. And I went in expecting that it was going to be different than the serious comic book movies that I have gotten before. Because pretty much every comic book movie, if we look before Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, has been pretty serious with the exception of Deadpool. I mean, Civil War was serious.
I mean, they still do a lot of those jokes. Marvel's been, a lot of their movies just have those tail butt end jokes.
Well, no, they do them, but I'm saying, like, they know when to do, or at least they've known when to do them in a lot of them. Like, there is still some quippy humor in Civil War, but still, like, they don't make jokes when they need to.
Civil War seemed to be more of a serious type tone, and I really enjoyed Civil War. Probably definitely one of my more favorite ones, but some of the other ones definitely had, didn't have that serious tone.
I think if the movie wasn't...
Yeah. Or you just
Which one?
I think if...
Well, just even in general, a lot of them that didn't have it. Pretty much a lot of the Thor movies really didn't seem to have. They had a lot of the humorous they went for.
Well, but that's what I'm saying, though. If you look at this last wave, so, like, last year's comic book movies, I don't think they had as much as that quippy humor. Because, like, Civil War still had it with, I was going to call him Hank Pym, but he's not Hank Pym.
Yeah.
With Paul Rudd's Ant-Man. There was some quippy humor there. But I think, by and large, a lot of the movies have been going to the dark route. Marvel does it in a different way because DC's like, we're going to use dark tones and make everybody hate each other type
Why
thing.
Why did you say that name? Why did you say that name?
So, I mean, like, I think that everything has been moving that way. Like, I'm not saying that there isn't comedic relief, because there has to be comedic relief in something that's that long. Otherwise, you end up emotionally devastated, like in
we
Logan.
We watched Doctor Strange. No, How did he defeat him in Doctor Strange? Doctor Strange.
I think my problem is that, like, Nebula isn't the quippy character I want making quippy jokes. You know what I
also
mean?
True.
Like, I know,
if
I can
Rocket
agree there.
If Rocket comes in and makes a quippy joke, I'm like, oh, I mean, that's Rocket. That's what he does. He's a dick. Or if, like, Groot comes in, or if Drax... You know, something goes over Drax's heads and he makes a joke about it. That makes sense. But to have, like, Nebula do it.
Okay, or Gamora.
Have Gamora do it. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, I can get that. Like, I think to me, seeing it that way makes more sense. Because now that I'm thinking back to that scene, like, Nebula's character would have just dropped it. But you would have known that it wasn't ripe yet.
Yeah.
But by making her reiterate that it wasn't, you're making her play more into that quippy type.
It takes away
when she's, like, supposed to be an angry android.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes away from that badass thing that she just did. Because you know, after she does that, she's basically taken over that whole ship, basically.
Yeah.
You know, and then to have her make that joke, I'm like, all right.
No, but do you want to talk about her art? I can see that. Huh? Oh, yeah, no. So, yeah, that is a great segue into the Gamora / Nebula arc. As we know from Volume 1, they're sisters. And here we learn a little bit more as to why they don't really love each other. And right off the bat, the first mission is pretty much done just to obtain Nebula to then sell her to collect her bounty. This entire time, Gamora is just saying, yeah, I don't care. You can die. I'm not going to give you a gun. I don't care if we're surrounded. Like, there is a lot of love lost between them. And it ends up with learning why they hate each other so much. And Gamora is much more reactive. Like, I don't like Nebula because Nebula keeps trying to kill me. Nebula is like, our fathers made us fight each other, and he replaced a piece of my body every time you beat me. And never once did you lose, and you kept being okay with me having pieces of myself replaced and being in pain. And then it's just kind of like, you know what? I can totally see why Nebula wants to kill her. But then they don't, and they have like this nice little reunion type thing. And I don't really know how I feel about the arc because I don't think it was as deep as I wanted it to be. It still felt very surface to me for two really badass female characters. I still just kind of felt it was a little meh. Like, it wasn't bad, but it was just like, the dialogue wasn't great, I guess, is where I'm at with that.
Yeah. If they would have, like, fought to the death and, like, then they had, like, that kind of moment, I think it would have been a little bit better. But, like, they kind of just, like, kissed and made up, and then Nebula goes along her way, and then she goes along her way, and you don't feel like anything's really resolved there.
I mean, because I guess
technically they do like this half-ass hug at the end of the movie, but I'm just like, does that really resolve any of like the years and years and years of torment that you had from Gamora kicking your ass?
Well, yeah, because there's like
that half-ass hug is gonna help you.
Yeah, because there's like this really intense thing where Nebula's like, I just wanted a sister, and then it doesn't really resolve itself, I guess. Because their whole, like, moment is, I guess, just realizing that they can't kill each other. And then you realize that it's more so just been a game to them, I guess. Like, I didn't, yeah. You know, I saved your life. Now you owe me. Okay, I saved yours back. Like, after Nebula flies in with a giant ship and, like, chases her into a cave shooting at her, like.
Yeah, when she picked up the gun, though, I was like, finally.
Badass. That was badass.
How actually badass Gamora is and how much she would fuck up almost everybody in this crew. I was like, Jesus Christ, that's amazing. It was so good.
Yeah, it was. She Hobbs'd it. She picked up the detached gun and just.
She definitely Hobbs'd it. That's a thing now. Yeah. Put on a t-shirt.
No, I actually really love that scene because I think we kind of get it at first where Peter's like, why are you using a gun? The guns are my thing. And then she ends up just pulling out that blade and ripping that freaking monster or whatever it was apart. And you're like, okay, so Gamora is pretty much the one that does a lot of the heavy lifting here.
Yeah.
While Drax just jumps into people's mouths.
What do you think, Matt, about that sisterhood of the traveling pants?
I guess it's kind of like you guys said. I didn't really. It kind of just seemed like it was there. It didn't seem like it was a big ordeal. They kind of tried to play it up, but nothing much. Yeah, it was kind of just seemed superficial to me. Especially the end. Like you said with the hug, I didn't really care about the hug. I guess they had a nice moment. She left. There was a few times where I didn't understand why she kept fighting, and it didn't really make sense, obviously, because, like, I could have let you die. And for as much as they hated each other, why didn't they just let one of them die? It might have been.
Yeah. Well, now that I think back to it, I think what it is because, like, Nebula ends up pretty much choking out Gamora, and then she's just like, ha, I won. And then it's like, okay, so that's all it was? You just wanted to win? Yeah. You didn't really want to kill her?
That's how it was with all of them, because they blew up the ship, which was still a weird scene. I thought it was a dream at first, and she was, like, out, and then because I didn't realize she came from that ship, like, so much faster, I guess, than Rocket and them got there. But then, like I said, she thought she was going to burn to death and die in there. Nope, saved her life. I'll save you. And then I'll choke you out. Nope, I won. I'm done. Oh, we're going to fight again. Nope, I'm just going to let you. I'll save you.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think they tried to make them complex characters, which I applaud, but I don't think the execution was well done.
Well, I think it's hard to make complex characters when they're literally, aren't they just both born trained assassins? I mean, how complex can their emotional states really be?
You can have complex trained assassins, which is why, like, I actually think Gamora's character was more developed in the first one than this one, even though she has her own arc.
But Nebula's?
Nebula's has just been kind of, I mean, Nebula, you know why she's the way she is. But you don't get much beyond that. And it's just, I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. You're telling me they're two highly trained assassins, but now they have a bunch of, like, emotional complex issues. Like,
well, I think, and this goes back to what Adrian was saying about moms, like, they have daddy issues. It's very clear in the first one that they have daddy issues, too. Like, you can still be a trained assassin, but they weren't trained as assassins without parents. Like, Thanos treated them like they were his children. They were raised as sisters, and they were raised as Thanos' daughters. So it's a familial relationship, even though they are hardened assassins. They still have those types of things.
Okay.
No.
I don't buy it, but yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I'll let you have it. I mean, I'll agree, disagree. I just don't buy it. Your whole life, however old they are, you're just trained to just kill, next mission, kill, next mission, kill. I get the whole daddy part, but the whole other complex of everything else, which I guess almost leads into the other arc of Peter and Gamora. Like, it's awkward and forced.
Yeah, I really don't like them together. Which...
I like it.
You like it?
I don't mind it, but it... I like it. But you can definitely see, like, when she interacts with Peter, how she looks so clueless and lost sometimes of what's going on. But then all of a sudden now...
Doesn't that go back to, like... Because at least from what we've seen in the movies, this is, like, not taking into account any of the comic book stuff, but, like... That's all she's been. She's been like a trained assassin. She doesn't know how to show emotion or love.
Yeah.
That's, of course she's going to look awkward.
But that's why I liked her in the first one, because she's learning those emotions. And the one thing I will say is there's this big jump, kind of like Fast and the Furious, of like, we're your crew, we're your family. Like, why are you searching for family somewhere else? Like, Drax, Rocket, me, and Groot, we're your family. And that's the confrontation she ends up having with Peter. And I think, like, I think she learned that really quickly compared to everything else. But I guess, too, like, if you're fighting and keeping each other alive, it's kind of easy to understand that you're each other's family. But I don't know.
I don't know. She's hot. She's hot, so I don't know. Who's he going to go with? Drax? He doesn't have very many options.
Which, by the way, I think Drax is...
And Tony Stark isn't in this one, so...
She can't do Tony Stark yet. I think Drax's description of his wife is, like, my favorite thing in the world. She never danced.
Oh, Drax...
She wouldn't even tap her foot.
Drax... Dude, Dave Bautista steals this movie for me.
He does.
Every scene he's in, I'm just dying, because he's just so... So good.
You're beautiful with on the inside.
With Mantis. Oh, so good.
You're so hideous. But
then you get the deep emotions when he's talking about his daughter. I was like, damn.
Yeah. Well,
that's deep.
So I actually really liked
him. Boldface showed more emotion than anybody in that entire movie.
Well, I liked that scene because he showed emotion, but it was still very unemotive. Until Mantis touched him and you realized how powerful him talking like this is. And so for me, I thought back, I was like, holy shit, he must have been in like some real pain when he was talking about his wife to Peter on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
no. She didn't even
dance. I love Drax. Go Bautista. Also, I really, really love Yondu. Or as Sylvester Stallone would say, Yondu, which I really hated.
I just keep wanting to say fondue.
I hated every time Sylvester Stallone came on screen.
I didn't know he was going to be in the movie. So like when I heard his voice, I was like, I was tapping Stefani. I was like, Stefani,
Rocky,
it's going to be Rocky.
Yeah.
It's going to be Rocky. And then when he saw who he is, I was like, all right, that's a good way to tie him in. Because you can't just throw him in there. But to put him in as, like, you know, the Reaver... Reapers? Reavers?
No. I'm getting my Ravagers. Fandoms mixed up.
Ravagers.
Ravagers. Yeah, I'm getting my fandoms all mixed up. Too many R's. but to have him, like, be, you know, part, like, the original Guardians of the Galaxy from the comic book thing, I think was a good way to tie him in.
Yeah, no, I really, really loved that. But I just hated it every time he said the name, because I'm like, could you not correct him? Or is it just, like, because he says it completely different than everybody else in the movie.
He's old enough, he does not care. How he said
maybe it's like maybe it's like the whole like Han Han thing in Star Wars.
Maybe.
Because Billy Dee Williams says Han.
Yeah, he does.
All the time.
Yeah. But he's Billy Dee Williams.
They just didn't want to correct him. That's not, I mean, he's just Sylvester Stallone. Maybe they're just like, all right. I mean,
just let him go. He's excited. He's in a movie. He's like 77. He probably doesn't even know where he's at. Just put him in the suit, give him the hat that he always wears.
Sure, so I look like that when I'm 77. Holy shit.
Big lips and all.
Yeah.
I guess back to Yondu. I really liked his arc so much, just because like Peter is like completely clueless of this. Like, you threatened to eat me. I was just saying that, and like, so for those listening,
here we go. So hold on. All right, I'll let you finish.
Okay. So for those,
why he's a shitty father,
father of the year.
So for those of you listening, Ego comes in. He's kind of pissed that Yondu threatened to eat Peter. Peter says, "Well, you know, he kept me around because I was small and I fit into things, you know, for thieving." Then it turns out that Yondu actually saved him because Peter was the last in a long line of Ego offspring that Yondu had brought over to eventually be killed. And Yondu had formed a bond with Peter and did not give him over, which ultimately leads to this really, really heart-crushing scene where there is one breathing device. And Yondu gives it to Peter to survive, and Yondu floats into the void of space, and it's super sad, and I just see Merle, and it makes me so sad, and I cried, and he has this beautiful Ravager funeral with fireworks and everything, and not only that, you also understand that, like, he is alone because his men realize how much he has a connection to Peter, how he refuses to kill the Guardians, how he refuses to take them in, which is why Nebula shoots off his mohawk. And then on top of that, you have, like, his own little family thing, because the Ravagers end up having to come to terms and accept him back again after this, like, awesome monologue from Sylvester Stallone just being like, "You're dead to me," in, like, bigger terms, but essentially that. I loved it. I was touched by it, and it gave me feels. But
one, he did the exact same thing that Peter did in the first movie. That's exactly what Peter did in the first movie. Like, it's not like this grandiose thing. Like, he literally did that to Gamora in the first movie.
But
like,
Peter didn't die.
Not anything crazy.
Peter didn't die.
It wasn't anything crazy.
More impressed about when he was getting covered by, I guess, Ego. And he said, "I don't control it with my mind."
Yeah.
That was more of the point really that nice. I thought, not the whole, I knew the suit thing was going to happen. It was so predictable.
But I didn't think they were going to kill him. I thought because we had just seen it with Peter that he wasn't going to die.
I knew he's dead.
No.
What made Yondu's art great is his interactions with Rocket. That makes Yondu's art great.
Yeah.
So much better. Because this whole movie, we see people just being dicks to Rocket. Like, even, like, the last thing before, you know, the finale of the movie is, like, do you want everyone to think, like, when Peter tells me, like, you want everyone to think you're an asshole and, like, just leaves? Yondu, the only person in this whole movie who really saw through what Rocket was going through, and they have that, you know, in the ship, and they're like, "You're just like me." That's powerful.
Because you're me, boy.
That's character development. That's Yondu showing that he cares. Joking around that you're going to eat your son is not good parenting. I don't care how much you were kidding. That's messed up. That's not how my dad shows me love. I don't know. And my dad would definitely give me the respirator. he would definitely give me the respirator without telling me that he was going to eat me when I was a baby. So, like, that final act has nothing to do with the fact that he was going to eat him or even that he said
no.
Psychological damage, bro. Psychological damage.
Okay, so for me, when you look at the way these, like, when you look at the way these characters are constructed, the worlds they exist in, there's a certain level of badassery or evil that Yondu is supposed to do on the ship. That's the whole reason he loses his ship and loses his men, and all of his supporters end up floating off and getting killed. Because he can't maintain that harsh exterior for Peter. So even though he did threaten to eat him, did he eat him, Adrian? No, he
all,
did not eat
all
him.
He had to do, all he had to do was play catch with him.
Oh my God. With a light that's orb? All, fucking hated
that's
that
all
part.
He wanted.
I
that's
hated
all
that
Chris
part
Pratt,
so much.
All Chris Pratt wanted was to play catch with his dad. And if he was his daddy, how come he didn't play catch with him?
Because he was my daddy fucking Mary catch Poppins.
No, I love the Yondu arc. I just think his interactions with Rocket were so much better than like the 5 minutes at the end of the movie with Peter, because they were basically, give me a buddy cop Yondu Rocket movie with Baby Groot tagging along. That's what I want.
I'd buy into that. I'd watch that a lot. I'd watch that a lot. But that being said, like I thought the Rocket interaction was more Yondu working through Yondu than the like a Rocket arc.
It's, they're running.
No,
running
they were
one
in the same.
Other.
I don't know.
They were the one in the same. When he was like, when Gamora's gonna go off the ship to go do save Peter, and then Rocket shoots him with the electric gun. She's like, I've already lost one friend today.
No,
how
that
powerful
that made me sad. That made me really sad.
Like, Rocket at the beginning of the movie would not do that.
Yeah.
Rocket at the end of the movie with arcs and interactions with Yondu does that at the end of the movie.
Well, I think Rocket in the beginning of the movie would do that. I think the reason Rocket was being so much of an asshole in the beginning of the movie was because he knows that he would do that for his friends, but he also knows that having people close gets him hurt. That's
nope,
also why before
not.
Matt,
why would he steal batteries from the people that? Why would he steal batteries from the people that he know would kill them? Because he's still trying to be an asshole to push everybody away.
Yes, but that doesn't mean
he
doesn't love
batteries.
Them. You put he was pushing
he
away the people he loved
batteries.
Because he was scared of it.
But now he really loves them and will do anything for them now because of his interactions with who? Yondu.
I think he would have done it in the beginning.
Peter's gonna be the same dude in the next movie, regardless of the Yondu interaction, because he has all of his friends and he has, you know, Gamora.
I totally
believe
that too.
Yeah, after all
no,
those flashbacks, the only thing he said after all the flashbacks was like, you shouldn't have killed my mom. And that's what he cared about at the end of the movie. What is one of Rocket's last lines? Who's crying at the end of the movie because of the funeral? Rocket.
Yeah. No, okay.
Heart and soul that. of this franchise.
I don't think he's heart and soul, but
heart and soul.
But no, I can see why they were better. But why they were more intense between him and Rocket. But that's why I actually think that the Yondu arc with Peter is really strong, because Peter doesn't feel the same way. Like, Peter's like almost like, why the fuck are you doing this, Yondu? Why
it's
are you
Peter's
putting
fault,
this on
though.
My face? I know it's not his fault. But the thing is, because Peter doesn't know them, because Peter pretty much doesn't reciprocate it, Yondu didn't have to do any of that. That was totally selfless to do that. And I think Yondu is awesome. I also got to meet him, so I have a picture with him. And I'll post it in the show notes.
And here, the bias comes out.
Yeah, got it. Found
he's
out
just
why.
A nice, he's overall a nice guy. So, yeah.
I met some pretty nice guys in my day, too.
Don't you
Can
dare.
You tell us about one of them?
That's for another episode for another time.
Anyway, back to
can
the
we
rest
put
of
that
the-
one in the show notes.
You'll find out.
Get ready
soon,
for
listeners.
Supernatural, guys.
You'll find out. I mean, I think that's pretty much the bulk of the movie. Other than the teasers, or not teasers, the five after credit sequences. The five.
Yeah. I don't count those as five. I'm sorry.
Okay, let's go through them.
Five separate scenes.
No, Goldblum isn't. Goldblum is an Easter egg. Let's count the. Yeah. So you have the first one is Yondu's first mate playing around with Yondu's arrow with his newly equipped mohawk, and the arrow ends up stabbing Drax. And that was hilarious. You then have Aisha with Adam Warlock, which is going to really disturb this budding relationship or finishing relationship with Peter and Gamora, because in the comics they're together.
Spoiler. People don't know that from the comics. That's so, like, this comic in general is, like, so obscure.
I don't care. Read the comic. What does that mean?
Yeah, it's so obscure.
It is obscure. I agree. But I also don't feel bad. Let's ask
Matt. Matt, did you know that Adam Warlock and Gamora get together in the comics?
I knew there was a Groot in a rocket.
Did you even know that was Adam
Warlock? I know there's a Nova Corps.
See?
What you're talking about is so obscure that...
Yeah. That nobody will care if it's ruined. There we go.
Well, they're rewriting everything as they go along anyways.
So. Oh, you like the Ultron story?
No, we're not going to get into that.
If you ever want to make Matt go into a tangent, listeners, at him about Hank Pym and the Ultron story in Age of Ultron.
No. Well, yes, I will gladly tell you how it was very, very ruined.
Anyway, so you also have the Watchers with Stan Lee, which James Gunn was said to... It was done to prove a fan theory that the reason Stan Lee is in every single one of these movies is because he's actually sent by the Watchers to inform them of what's happening on Earth with everybody, except he got his timeline wrong, because this movie, I think, is 2 years before Civil War, and he mentions that he was a FedEx guy, which is... during Civil War or something like that?
They're in space. It doesn't matter. Time travel, if you go far enough through the galaxy, you can be 2 years behind.
And yet you did not understand the time travel of Sailor Moon.
I mean, in his defense, that was a little crazy.
Really? A baby fell out of the sky.
She was an elementary schooler. And then, I know I'm missing one.
I think the funny thing about the Watchers was how many adults... at least in the movie theater we were in, knew who the Watchers were and were excited.
We were freaking out. Oh, there was like this, there, it was funny because there was a woman's voice that came out from the other side of the theater going, "Oh my God, the Watchers!"
Yeah.
Did you kick her out of the draft house for talking?
The movie was over. It was a end credits. Keep going.
Then you have Stalker, Sylvester Stallone, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Of the Galaxy.
Yeah. Which, by the way... Michelle Yeoh, she looks awesome.
Yeah, and for this is like a super obscure one too, because like the comic run that's going on right now only exists because of like the movies.
Yes,
but before, like, this started like in like 69, and then the one that Sylvester Stallone, like, all those characters are from like the 75 one.
Yeah,
like one
in the 70s.
Yeah, so that's what that was, for those of you who didn't know what it was. And then you also had Teenage Groot.
Yes. Emo Teenage Groot, which I loved how they did all, like, the little roots coming out of his head and the little emo comb over.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
I'm kind of excited for Teen Groot.
I am too. Teen
Groot's going to be dope. I hope they keep him as Teen Groot in the next movie.
I do, too. As much as little Groot was killing things.
Can he get frosted tips?
Oh, God. Oh, I will say this, though. The best scene with Baby Groot was not when he was, they were going through the bomb buttons. It was when he brings back the severed toe. When he's trying to find the moat. He was trying to find the Mohawk. And so he keeps bringing back wrong things to help Yondu and Rocket get out of the cell. And he ends up bringing the severed toe. And Rocket's just like, please tell me you have a fridge full of severed toes. It's like, nope, we're not going to talk about this again. And Baby Groot just walks along like, la 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 la, I cut off a toe. So, yeah. I love Baby Groot. I love him. I love him so much.
But I think that's all five.
Yeah.
that's fine.
And then you also have, like, the
Jeff,
you know,
Goldblum,
the Easter
dancing
eggs themselves. Like, Howard the Duck's in it again.
Yeah.
Cosmo the Space Dog.
Jeff Goldblum dancing at the end of the credits, because they're going to bridge Guardians of the Galaxy and Thor Ragnarok. So.
Yeah, they passed by the planet. Don't they? When they're doing the 700 jumps,
mm-hmm.
they pass by a plant.
Yes, they do. So,
I think those are the big ones.
Is that it?
That should be about everything.
Oh.
Well, where do you rank it?
I rank it above the first Guardians, and I think for me, it's up there. I really, really loved it. So Civil War is probably like my number two. Okay, so let's not count Logan. Logan's in its own category.
I'm counting Logan.
Okay.
It's still a comic book movie.
Yeah.
You can count it.
Okay, so Logan's number one for me. Logan above everything. Then there is Deadpool, Civil War, and then I would probably rank this one because I really loved it.
And what's the one right below it?
Right below it?
Yeah.
First Iron Man.
Ooh, okay. That's a good question. No one ever asked that. What's the one below that?
It kind of gives you a measurement of like, you know what's above it, but what is it?
I wasn't even thinking about my one below this one. Oh, okay. All right, you go, Matt. Now I have to think now.
And that's why you're a host now. Asking the tough questions.
It makes you think.
Okay, well, what about you, Matt?
Well, I think, because you obviously thought this through already.
Oh, I just know what to ask. So we're talking about all of them, I guess?
Yeah.
Okay, we're talking about, I guess, original first.
Are we counting the Fox movies in this timeline? No, right?
I mean... They wouldn't rank.
They wouldn't rank up there with me, but that's fine.
Well, technically, Logan. Other than Logan. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. No. I mean, other than Logan, none of those are ranking anywhere near my top.
I just know you like Spider-Man.
Except for First Class. First Class is really good.
First Class is pretty good.
I like that one. Definitely up there. Yeah, but the Amazing Spider-Man's didn't do it for me, especially the second one. Sorry.
Toby.
Yeah, but I wasn't gonna count those since they kind of rebooted everything. I was gonna go just when they redid the actual new Marvel whatever quote unquote universe. Okay. Cinematic universe. I guess I'd have to go with... I'd probably go with Deadpool number one.
That's because you like gore.
I mean, I really enjoy these rated R movies. Maybe that's just bad on me, but I do.
No, mine was number two, so...
Then I would probably go... just from overall, I guess, enjoyment. I mean, I like... Because I don't have, I guess, the 17 years from the other X-Men movies. Because I've seen some of them. I haven't seen some of them. I would probably go with Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Then Logan. And then probably go, unfortunately, probably Civil War. And I really enjoyed Doctor Strange. Only just because I don't think it was that great of a movie. But I just really like...
Cumberbatch.
Yes, that might be a bias pick.
You must have liked Iron Man because it was the exact same movie.
I did like. The funny thing is, I did actually really enjoy the first Iron Man.
That's why the one that this is beating out is Iron Man, because the first Iron Man movie, which is pretty much what got all of this started, is a really good movie. Yeah. And it holds up. It holds up really well.
Yeah.
When you go back,
I agree.
Watch it.
I watched it the other day. It's really good.
I used to do that when they were all on Netflix. But yeah, what about you,
for
Adrian?
Me, Civil War is my number one. Logan would probably be my number two, but like not by very, like it's very, very close. I just thought Civil War, like the third act of Civil War just like got me. It was a great, great buildup. And then the twist, I didn't see it coming. It caught me completely by surprise. And I was like, oh, shit. And I'm a mama's boy, too, so the whole, like, Tony Stark going ape shit. And Tony Stark definitely beat both of them in a two-on-one fight.
No, he did. Because you're fueled by the pure mom anger.
Yeah, mom anger. You know, just tap into it every comic book movie. Logan, my number two. Again, if you go back and listen to our recap, it was just really, 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 really good. I had Guardians... of the Galaxy Volume 2 as my number 3. And Stefani hates this. Stefani really, really enjoyed Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, but I don't think it was better than the ensemble in Civil War.
Yeah.
I don't think it was emotionally as good as Logan, so I have to put it at number 3. For my number 4, I think it's a toss-up between Iron Man 1 and Deadpool, just because I can't pick between them because I wasn't prepared for a number 4 pick. But Iron Man number one's been like one of my favorites since it came out. And Deadpool is just really, really good. So I can't really pick between those two for my number four spot.
I think,
but you know, X-Men Apocalypse, you know, terrible. Nowhere near my top. Mm-mm. There's lots of those movies that aren't anywhere near my top.
Mm-mm. Any DC movies?
No. I liked Green Lantern. I mean, it's not near my top, but I liked Green Lantern.
I guess
it doesn't matter
because
we're going
to
reboot it.
Oh, I was like, we're going Green Lantern out of all those?
I mean, I liked Green Lantern more than I liked the new movies, like, better
than all the Superman movies.
Yeah.
I didn't think it
was as bad as people ripped it,
but I definitely didn't think it was that great at all.
It's not, it is, it does not deserve to be the Nickelback of comic book movies, but it wasn't that great.
Yeah. So, do you think Wonder Woman's going to be better in both of these? Logan or...
Based on current reviews, I don't know if it'll be better than any of, like, my top five Marvel movies. But based on the reviews and everything that I've seen from people who hated the last two movies that came out for the DC Cinematic Universe, I think it's going to be pretty good. I'm pretty excited about it. I wasn't thinking of going to see it opening weekend, but just based on how hype everybody is, I might go see it opening weekend.
Yeah, so we're going to actually be doing a Wonder Woman episode that will come out on June 14th, right before the movie drops. And you'll get to hear my complicated relationship with this movie. But I got to see that last trailer in theaters. Holy crap, I'm hyped. I am so hyped. And yeah, I think Wonder Woman, I'm hoping it does well. Mostly because it is going to be the make or break for the DCEU. Like, if this tanks, it's done.
By the way, so. My 500th ranked movie is Suicide Squad.
Yes, the Academy Award winning Suicide Squad.
Yeah, you can't talk bad about it. It's the only comic book movie with
an Academy Award.
An award in that category. Yeah, that's blasphemous. Watch yourself.
I think Suicide Squad deserves to be the Nickelback.
For me, Batman v Superman deserves to be Nickelback. Batman v Superman is so bad. Terribly bad. It's so bad y'all haven't even seen it. That's how bad it is.
I tried. There's so many times I tried. I couldn't get myself.
That's
to
how
do
bad
it.
It is. I couldn't. Just so we're clear, listeners. That's how bad the movie is.
I tried.
Well, now that
our comic book loving Kate has not seen it because it's so bad.
This is actually very true. And I contemplated watching it for Wonder Woman, but then I just watched the scene itself and didn't bother watching the movie. So.
All right. That's okay. Her scenes are pretty good.
I watched I watched all the Batman scenes minus the rest of the movie. That was about
it. So you guys basically watched the best parts of the movie and then cut out 3 hours of just being angry.
Yeah, pretty much. That's a way to do it. See?
Yeah.
That's why they invented YouTube. That's why you don't have to do that for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, because it's good start to finish.
Yep. Yes. So all right. If you haven't seen it, see it. If you didn't want to see it, I hope you change your mind. It is great. I also hope we didn't spoil things too much, but we warned you. And as always, you can find us at ButWhyThoughPC on Twitter and Instagram. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes and whatever options are available to you wherever you listen. Really helps us out, lets people find us, and helps other people just get to know us as much as you've gotten to know us now. You can find me at OhMyMythRandier on Twitter and Instagram. Matt?
You can find me at... threw me off. You always go to Adrian at the end on this. Mess me up. You can find me on Twitter at DatM18, DATTM18. And yeah.
Adrian?
You can find me on Twitter at SuperReese93, SuperRuiz93. And while the NBA Finals are going on, you can catch me live tweeting it.
This is true.
From our But Why Though
Twitter account. Obviously. that's it, guys. Let us know what you thought about Guardians, and hopefully we had some of the same ideas. Have a great day. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.